Let's turn our Bible to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1, 2 and 3. Let me read for you. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 3. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. What is incontinence? The word for incontinence here in the Greek Bible is the word akrates. And akrates literally means without control, without power. That's the meaning of this word here, incontinence. And it is used only once in the Bible, only here in 2 Timothy 3, verse 3. And here the adjective incontinent describes people who are utterly lacking in self-control, lacking in self-discipline. And obviously, the lack of self-control is not with reference to physical incontinence. We know that elderly people are often plagued by this physical ailment. Here, it's not talking about physical incontinence, but spiritual incontinence. The utter lack of spiritual power to overcome the sinful habits, the sinful desires of the heart and of the flesh. That is the meaning of the word here, incontinence. So a person who is suffering from spiritual incontinence is unable to control his sinful desires and sinful habits. In other words, he is a sin addict. He is addicted to sin. And he's totally given over to the lust of the flesh, to the lust of the eyes, and to the pride of life. And it is one characteristic of a reprobate or an apostate, someone who is unregenerate, someone who is not born again, someone who is not a believer, not a child of God. A believer will not be characterized by such a sin, a sin of incontinence, and will not be habitually and willfully committing such a sin. A believer will have this control in his life because the Holy Spirit that indwells him will give him the ability, the power to control the sinful desires that is in his heart, the sinful nature. So this disease of incontinence, this spiritual disease, is something that plagues the unbeliever. And the sin of incontinence is due to the total depravity of man. And man is conceived in sin. He is born in sin. He grows in sin. And he lives in sin. And Romans 3:23 tells us that man cannot help but sin against God. He has no control over his sinful nature. His nature is such that he will behave according to his nature. Just like a pig. A pig has a pig nature. He will behave like a pig. Right? And we as sinful human beings, born in sin, bred in sin, we live in sin. We love to sin. We have no ability whatsoever to control the sin nature that is in us. As the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All without exception. That's what we are. We are totally unable, we are totally incapable of doing anything good that will be acceptable to God. And that's why Paul in Romans 3 goes on to say, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They have no control over their sinful desires. They have no control over their evil tongue. They have no control whatsoever over their wicked hands and wicked feet. They will do what their sinful nature would dictate. What a very, very tragic condition this is. What is the heart condition of sinful humanity? What is it like? And the clearest description is in Jeremiah 17 verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We are not able to control this desperately wicked heart that is within us. And this heart that we have is bent on breaking God's commandments. We cannot help but transgress, violate, and break the commandments of God. And we are not able to control the lustful desires and the lustful passions that are within us. And this is clearly seen, right, in Romans chapter 1, how we are described in very explicit and great detail. And we are totally given over to vile affections. To vile affections. In Romans 1, verse 26. And then in verse 27, we are told that the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. They have no control over their feelings, and their feelings even turn unnatural, and they go after things that are unnatural, sinful, and immoral. In verse 29, we are told, they are filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They know that that these things are sinful and immoral. They know that these things will be met with God's judgment, but nonetheless, I don't care. I still want to do them. I love doing them. And they even enjoy doing all these things and have pleasure in them that do them. They just have no control over their sinful and immoral, evil and wicked feelings, passions, actions, and deeds. Do we suffer from such a deadly disease as spiritual incontinence? I pray not. And if you are truly born again, you are delivered from this. You have the power to overcome all these things when we walk in the Spirit, when we take a delight in the law of God, and we have the power to obey all the commandments of God. And if you find yourself without such power, something is seriously wrong. We have to do a spiritual checkup. Are we truly alive in Christ? Or are we still enslaved to our sin and to Satan? Because if we are alive in Christ, we have been freed from all these things. We are now slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will have the ability, the power to control the sinful nature, the sinful desires of the flesh, and to really lead a successful and victorious Christian life. Do we find ourselves having this power, this self-control and discipline? If we don't have, we better examine ourselves and get right with God and make sure that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And when the Spirit indwells us, you will for sure experience the power. Something very difficult to describe with words. You must experience this for yourself. Do you experience the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? If not, something is seriously wrong, dear friends. You better examine yourself. And what are the types of incontinency that the Bible describes for us? There are two types. The incontinent man will show his utter lack of self-control in his speech and in his deeds. Right? So the first type is verbal incontinence. And the incontinent man is unable to govern his speech, unable to control his words, his mouth, his lips, his tongue. And this we learn from James chapter 3, verse 5 to 8. If you turn to James chapter 3, and you know the book of James, don't you? The theme of the book of James is faith without works is dead. If you say you are a believer, you say you have true faith, then you should and would be able to control your tongue. But if you find your tongue untamed, out of control, maybe your faith that you claim to have is a false faith, which is no faith at all. And so James here gives the warning in James chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. He warns against the tongue. How do you know that you are a child of God? How do you know you have the Holy Spirit within you? Well, are you able to control your tongue or not? Right. And he tells us how destructive the tongue can be. Even so, it says here in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a whirl of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, cannot be controlled, full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. Someone has said a tongue 6 inches long can kill a man 6 feet tall. True? It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison, and the tongue can no man tame. No man can tame the tongue. You cannot tame your own tongue. You cannot control your own tongue. I cannot control my tongue by myself. To control the tongue, we need something supernatural. We need something supernatural and miraculous to happen in our life. Without which, the tongue is extremely wild and no one can control it. And what is this supernatural thing that must happen? The miracle of regeneration. The miracle of being born again. Miracle of salvation that must happen in your life. When Jesus takes control of you, frees you from sin and from Satan, and the Holy Spirit comes in to sanctify your heart, then and only then can we tame the tongue. God can tame the tongue for us. And in order to do that, God must come in to our life. By His Spirit, then by the Holy Spirit, our tongue can be controlled, can be tamed, you see, or else cannot. And the totally depraved man who suffers from spiritual incontinence will never be able to control his tongue. Cannot. But if you are saved, you can. The Holy Spirit can tame the tongue for you. So there are people who just cannot control their tongue. Verbal incontinence. They speak without any regard for truth or charity. And that's because their mind and heart are controlled by their sin and by Satan. And that's why James went on to say, right, verses 9 and 10, therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. If you are a believer, you will not speak with a forked tongue, with a double tongue. On the one hand, blessing, on the other hand, cursing. What is going on? The forked tongue is one characteristic of the serpent. He speaks with a forked tongue. Yes is no, no is yes. And sometimes he says yes and no at the same time. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, until everybody gets confused. Right? He doesn't mean what he says, and he speaketh a lie. Do we speak like this? Because if we speak with a forked tongue like this, then is one evidence that we are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Our faith is not genuine faith. It is a false faith, a counterfeit faith. And that's why here James gives such a warning. How to know that we are truly born again? Well, check our tongue. How do we use it? Are we able to control it? Is it continuously being sanctified? Do we see ourselves, our words, and the use of our lips? Do we see a difference as the days go by? That our words are now more filled with God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, God's truth, more and more cleansed, more and more clean words, and not filthy or vulgar and dirty words. Do we see that? If we see that, then it's a good sign. We are more and more able to control and tame our tongue. So those who speak with wild abandon and unbridled fury, without any charity, without any truth, only show themselves they are void of Christ. They are without Christ and without His Spirit. As James says here in verses 11 and 12, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? The answer is no. Okay. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? Of course, the answer is no. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? And so Jesus himself even denounced the unbelieving Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees, who were hypocrites. Maybe with their lips they praise and bless God, but their hearts are very far from Him. And they show it, and that's why Jesus rebuked them. O generation of vipers, Jesus said, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And their words condemned them. They had an evil heart, these religious teachers. They knew the Old Testament very well. And when Jesus came, they could see that he was truly their Messiah. Because he only did good. There was no sin in him at all. And he healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, raised the dead. And all these powerful miracles show very clearly he came from God. He is the Son of the living God himself. They could see that very clearly. The evidence is so clear. They heard his good words, the good news of his kingdom. They could find no fault in him whatsoever. And after all that, what did they say? Instead of acknowledging the truth, believing on the Messiah and the Savior who has already come in fulfillment of the Old Testament scripture, which they should know very well, and indeed they knew it well, and they could see all these things, they were not able to control their tongue. Out of the wickedness and the evil that is in their heart, they spoke something that was very malicious and blasphemous against the Lord Jesus Christ and against the Holy Spirit. You do all these things by the power of the devil. They accuse Jesus. That's the unpardonable sin. The blasphemy against the Spirit. They couldn't control their tongue. They just had to say it. And that's why Jesus called them, "O generation of vipers, you will be judged by your words." And the words show the kind of heart that they had, you see. But spirit-filled Christians would not fall into such a sin. If we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, we love him because he first loved us, we will only want to glorify his name, always speak good of Jesus Christ. Jesus can never do anything bad or sinful. Jesus can never be wrong. We will also have the highest regard for God's words. We will never say anything against God's word. God's word is always pure and perfect. How can we say there are any mistakes? And if we do say the Bible has mistakes, if we are truly believers, then our heart should prick us. We'll feel very guilty and miserable. How can that be? And quickly repent. But if we do not repent and we keep on saying this, it shows that maybe there's no light at all within us. We have to examine ourselves. Because if there's nothing good in us, no good can come out. But if there's something good in us, the Holy Spirit, the good Spirit is in us, it will cause us to say that which is good. We'll never curse the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll never say anything that would undermine his word. We will always give glory to God. And God says, "I have magnified my word above all my name." My word, all the more, you will praise and you will bless and you will uphold. What do we say about Christ? What do we say about the Bible when people ask you questions? How do you confess Christ? How do you defend the Bible? And when people try to cast doubt about the Lord Jesus Christ and deny his deity or deny his humanity and cast doubt on his words, what do you say? Are you quick to agree or are you quick to defend? We have to check ourselves. And if the good Lord and the good Spirit and the good word are in our heart, surely good words will come out of our mouth. Right? So spirit-filled Christians should be wise before God and men. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when we are wise, we know how to say wise things according to God's truth, according to God's nature and character, according to God's word. And we know how to control our tongue, you see. And that's why in Ecclesiastes 5 verse 2, The wise man said, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few." And James chapter 1 verse 19 tells us, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." There's wisdom here. Are we able to control our tongue or not? Or are we suffering from verbal incontinence? Just say whatever we want. Proud words against God. Hateful words against our fellow brethren. How can that be? Let us make sure we tame our tongue. And the only way whereby we can do it is when we have this divine power that comes from God Himself, the Holy Spirit within us. Right? And there's another kind of incontinence, carnal incontinence. The incontinent man is unable to suppress his carnal desires. The sinful man is naturally attracted to the carnal pleasures of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Like metal to magnet, right? The incontinent man will find himself unable to resist the lure of power, of money, and of sex. These are powerful temptations. The incontinent man will find himself unable to resist all these things. In no time, he gets hooked and addicted to the sins of the flesh, which will bring about his downfall and his destruction. And the newspapers and tabloids will find no lack of material reporting the fall of politicians and tycoons and movie stars, right? When they find themselves trapped by their carnal incontinence or addiction. Of course, only famous names get reported, right? But that doesn't mean that the common people are spared. We are also in the same boat. But the common man, who knows about him? But those who are up there, movie stars, politicians, the rich and the famous, well, when they fall into sin, they get reported. And they are a reflection of what we are as well, addicted to all these things. And I don't have to mention names. You know, you read them in the papers, one after the other, right? Day in, day out, week after week, month after month, there is bound to be such a case, a report. Carnal incontinence. We are addicted to sin. And how many have fallen into the four proverbial Chinese sins of womanizing, gambling, smoking, and drinking. And today, these two new temples of materialism and money theism in Sentosa and Marina Bay, where money is God, and when greed is good, it will only make our bad moral situation worse. And please be warned of all these things. And as Christians, we should have great control over our feelings. We should be able to overcome these temptations. Are you tempted to gamble, to go to the casino? Everybody is going, flocking. I must join the crowd. I pray you have no such desire and delight. I don't want to go there. Not my cup of tea. You are able to control, right, your sinful desires and be able to resist all these temptations. But the carnally incontinent man, he cannot. He loves to gamble. Once he goes in, he will be addicted to it. And then his life is destroyed. Not only his life, his family. And we'll see more and more lives being destroyed by this. Families broken up. Crime rates will climb, and the quality of life will plunge. And surely you don't want this to happen to you. You must have this self-discipline and control. And if you are Christian, you can. You have victory, right, over such things. And the only way whereby the people of the world can save themselves from all these things is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are the only ones who have the answer, the solution to this addiction that will plague the lost. The good news of Jesus Christ. So please share the good news. And when people believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's only when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be freed from all these things for sure. They will find the power, or else they cannot. They may lose thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, but they'll still go and get into debt. And in the end, it will cost their life. So many will jump. Suicide rates will go up. They have no control. That's why the casinos can never lose. They bank on what? They bank on your greed. On your greed. And men, those who run the casinos, know man cannot, the incontinent man cannot control his greed. He will go, and it will drive him to his destruction. And what the Bible says is so true. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So what must we do as Christians? We have the power to do this, to run away, flee. Right? Paul says, we must flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And we can do it. We are in control. Right? And so we must be disciplined, not to allow our sinful nature to get the better of us. And we have the ability to do it as believers. And that's why in 1 John chapter 2, verse 14 to 17, the Apostle John tells us, I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him. You know him. You have known him that is from the beginning, the Lord Jesus Christ. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. You are strong. You can control the sinful desires that are within you because of your sinful nature, because the Holy Spirit is working in you. You are strong. You're not weak. Once you are a believer. And the word of God abideth in you. You see? And the word of God is that which sanctifies you. Okay? And ye have overcome the wicked one. You can resist the temptations that he sends to you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So let us not love the world that is governed by Satan, the sinful pleasures of the world that are offered by him. Satan and this world will one day be destroyed. But all who are ruled by Christ and his word will be saved and have eternal life. So there's only one cure, dear friends, for spiritual incontinence. Only one cure. And it can only come from the physician of physicians, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If we confess the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God had raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And that's why Paul knows the power of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the power of God unto salvation, to free us, to do that which is good and holy, and then to prevent us from doing that, from doing the things that are evil and wicked. We will have control. So may the Lord help us. And if we have sinned against God, there is salvation. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you have yet to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray you will accept Him, believe on Him as your Lord and Savior today. Only He can save us from the curse of incontinence. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O Lord, that there is spiritual healing and cure for all our spiritual maladies and diseases in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray, speak to some heart tonight. He or she might come to a saving knowledge of Christ, that we might surrender our life to Him so that He might be the captain and controller of our life, for He is the only Savior of the world. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.